following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and today on Crane's Daily Gist, Chicago's pro sports franchises laid out the rules that they want in order to justify a pricey license to open a sports betting operation in or near their venues. But first, college athletes may soon be allowed to cash in on endorsement deals in Illinois as the state joins a handful of other states considering legislation to help college athletes reap marketing rewards. Today, I spoke with Crane's reporter Sarah Zimmerman for context. Here's our conversation. Okay, interesting story that you have posted at Crane's Chicago Business right now, and that is about college athletes and allowing them to cash in on endorsement deals, which is a pretty hot topic that comes up a lot on social media and just kind of water cooler conversation about sports. People talk about this a lot. What is the latest with this?
So following California's lead, State Rep. Emmanuel Chris Welch introduced legislation on Monday that would allow college athletes to profit off of their name and likeness and allow them to enter into endorsement deals. This is very similar to the California legislation. This would ramp up a legal problem with the National Collegiate Athletic Association, which has its own rules which prevents students from entering into a promotional agreement. The reason it has these rules is because it wants to maintain a line between amateurism and professionalism. And in its mind, if college students can enter into endorsement deals, that's not necessarily an amateur sports league.
Right. That becomes a whole different deal, that it's hard to separate pro and amateur at that point. But there's a lot of profit being made off of college athletes. So there, I think that's where this kind of division of opinion gets stirred up a lot when people go, well, fair enough, they're students and there should be a difference between pro and amateur. However, there's a lot of money being made through people who deserve to get paid for what they're doing. I mean, I think it's interesting.
And I think Rep. Welch gets exactly to that question when he brought up Loyola's media frenzy last year when they were in the Final Four for the men's basketball game. There were bobbleheads of Sister Jean. Sports merchandise for Loyola was at its highest ever, and yet these students couldn't necessarily enter into endorsement deals or do advertisements with local businesses or things that allow them to profit off of their own talent, as Welch would say. So to him, this is a bigger issue about who is actually providing this talent and who is providing this labor and who gets to profit off of that, especially because I think a lot of people don't understand that not everybody who plays a sport in college automatically gets a full ride scholarship. Colleges with Division I sports only have a certain number of spots, I believe it's around 85, that they can offer full ride to students. Obviously, there's more than 85 players, you know, in a certain school. So a lot of them are considered walk-ons. When they're still on the team, they're still working hours and they're still practicing, but they don't get that full ride scholarship. And I think that's important to understand too. The bill itself is very vague. It's intentionally modeled after California's. And basically all it says is that a college or the NCAA can't stand in the way of a player entering into an endorsement deal. The NCAA has to listen to state law. State law trumps NCAA's own rules. So what happens next is going to be an interesting question. They're already deciding what to do in California, whose law goes into effect in 2023, just like the Illinois proposed law. And that could mean that California would be out of the Pac-12 if the NCAA decided to go that far. If Illinois passed this bill, it could mean that it jeopardizes Illinois schools' position in the Big Ten. So there's a lot of questions about how would this reshape college sports as we know it. And I think in both California and Illinois and some of these other states that are proposing different legislation, the reason why they're having it go into effect in 2023 is to ramp up the pressure on the NCAA to change its own rules on its own. So this has been done before. The NCAA, for example, didn't always allow colleges to offer full ride scholarships, but once pressure started mounting, they voluntarily changed that rule. They're hoping the same thing can happen in this case.
Now, why that timeline? Why 2023? That seems kind of a ways out.
I think that probably is just to give the NCAA time to try and find a compromise. The NCAA said in May, far before California signed its bill, that it would set up a working group in May, and I don't know how long they will meet. But this working group will decide whether or not these rules regarding endorsements and profiting off of likeness should be changed or not. So I think that sends a signal that the NCAA is willing to work with states and willing to work with these ideas. And that's probably why states like California and Illinois decided to put that 2023 date as probably a gesture of goodwill to give NCAA the time to change those rules.
Mm. So you mentioned earlier how this could potentially change the face of sports quite a bit, of college sports anyway, quite a bit. And as you note in the piece that's at chicagobusiness.com, you know, we've been talking a lot about endorsements and the ability to make money off of them. Also, this could have some bearing on whether or not college athletes work with agents at different points of their career as well, which is interesting.
Definitely. I think in the California legislation, it was very clear that they could hire agents. In the Illinois legislation, it's still a little bit unclear whether or not athletes could hire agents to help them profit off of their name and likeness. So that still remains to be unseen. There still has to be committee hearings on this bill. It still has to go through the normal process. Welch says that he wants it to get through the fall veto session, but who knows whether or not they could pass that with all the other priorities they have. So I think that this is a starting point, and there could be even more changes in the upcoming future.
So in talking about how this could change college sports, what does that mean for in terms of attracting athletes to schools?
Not only does Welch say that these students deserve to profit off of their own talent, but he's saying that this type of legislation could be a major incentive to bring some of the best players to Illinois. If you have this law on the books, and players could make money off of their own talent, then they're more likely to choose a school in Illinois, in California, in these states that offer more of these type of incentives. And again, whether or not that means they could play in the NCAA, that remains to be seen. It is also possible if the NCAA chooses to kick out California and chooses to kick out Illinois, these are big states with big schools. And it's possible they could create their own league. There's been a lot of talk about creating a second league with some of these powerhouse schools in states that decide to go this other route.
It's really interesting. And I think it's very interesting to frame it and kind of look through it and consider it through the Loyola example, right? Because then you can see just how much happened in a moment when those athletes couldn't profit from that whatsoever. They couldn't, as you say in the story, you know, you're quoting somebody who says they couldn't make a cent off that. So I think that's a really interesting example of how this could possibly play out. Well, thanks so much for talking with us about it today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Coming up, the SEC says a hedge fund that was started in a dorm room and managed more than $400 million committed fraud. We'll talk about that and other stories right after this word from our sponsor. At Wintrust, there's no one-size-fits-all solution because there's no one-size-fits-all business. They come in different sizes in different industries and with different needs. You won't need cookie-cutter services based on your size. Wintrust provides personalized focus no matter what kind of business you run. Whether you're looking for deposit accounts, lending options, or treasury management solutions, Wintrust bankers are prepared to meet your business where you are and help you get where you want to be. Find out more at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Looking to today's stories, Endotronix raised another $25 million to conduct late-stage trials of an implantable device to help doctors better monitor cardiac patients and detect problems before they could lead to heart failure. The Lyle-based company raised $45 million a year ago in preparation for trials in Europe, and the company said it hopes to have its device on the market in Europe either late next year or 2021, and in the U.S. the year after that. The device gets implanted in a patient's artery and measures blood pressure. A wireless reader then captures the data and recharges the implant. The company also makes software used by the patient's doctor to capture, chart, and analyze the patient's data. A new commercial investor, which the company did not identify, participated in the latest funding. Chicago investors include Joe Mansueto, founder of Morningstar, and energy entrepreneur Michael Polsky. That, according to the company's CFO. Chicago's five major pro sports franchises want in on sports betting, and they're letting state gambling officials know what they think of the potential ground rules. Hoping to shape the regulations that'll govern sports wagering statewide, the Bears, Cubs, Sox, Blackhawks, and Bulls last week told the Illinois Gaming Board that they need specific protections to justify opening their own sports betting operations, specifically paying the $10 million license fee required from each to run one at or near their home venues. In a letter sent to the state's gambling authority on behalf of the franchises and obtained by Cranes, law firm Fox Rothschild laid out the steps that it thinks the IGB needs to take to keep potential competitors off teams' turf. You can read the whole letter at chicagobusiness.com, but the gist is this. The rules better make economic sense, or the state won't get all the revenue it's banking on from legalizing sports gambling. The letter also partially lifts the veil on how the teams plan to capitalize on legalized sports gambling. They've been pretty quiet so far, evaluating just how to seize the potential of opening a sports betting operation inside, say, Wrigley Field or the United Center without disaffecting longtime fans who don't want wagering to be part of their game day deal. The letter aims to guide the IGB as the board hashes out a plan for how sports betting should be rolled out and regulated. It also hints at teams' plans to control a lot of things about the betting experience within five blocks of their venues, the radius in which the state statute allows them to operate a licensed sports betting facility. The franchises specifically also call out concerns about competition from the Illinois Lottery. The law created a pilot program through 2023 that'll eventually let as many as 5,000 lottery retailers often parlay bets on sports, wagers that hinge on the outcome of multiple games in a single bet. More on this story at chicagobusiness.com. In other news, pilots at Southwest Airlines, which is the largest operator of the troubled Boeing company's 737 MAX, warned that the grounded plane may not resume commercial flights until as late as March. The carrier's internal plans call for the MAX to carry its first paying customers 45 to 60 days after U.S. regulators lift a no-fly order on the plane. That, according to Training and Standards Committee chairperson at the Southwest Airlines Pilot Association. The union president said his best guess for the MAX resumption of commercial services is January at the earliest and March at the latest. The airline CFO said earlier in September that Southwest expects regulators will certify the grounded jet to resume flights before Thanksgiving in the U.S. Boeing, which hasn't yet filed its final package of changes to the FAA for approval, has said that it's targeting lifting the grounding early in the fourth quarter. One final story for today. The SEC says that a hedge fund started in a dorm room that managed more than $400 million in assets committed fraud. The agency accuses SBB Research of inflating holdings and said the company misled investors into believing that it was much better off than it actually was. Yesterday, the SEC sued the company's founder, SBB, and the firm's COO. The regulator said in an order that the founder, Samuel Barnett, started Northbrook-based SBB in 2010, initially investing his family fortune, then turning SBB into an SEC-registered firm that could solicit money from outside investors, promoting his investment acumen on appearances on CNBC and other media outlets. He also sought to establish a track record to show prospective clients that he was an expert trader. But according to the SEC, SBB's track record was based on fraudulent manipulation of the value of the hedge fund firm's investments. Barnett, who primarily invested in structured notes, overcharged his clients $1.4 million in fees due to the inflated evaluations, according to the SEC. He eventually tried to make investors whole by paying a secret credit into their accounts without revealing that they'd been overcharged in the first place, according to the regulator. A lawyer representing all three said the company is eager to fight the allegations. Until tomorrow, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thanks so much to producer Haima Black and to today's guest, Sarah Zimmerman. Find the latest breaking business news, data, analysis, and tons more at chicagobusiness.com. And find hashtag Crane's Daily Gist on Twitter. And let's continue the conversation there about these and other business stories most on your mind. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow.